Wake up! It's the Sleep Unplugged podcast with Dr. Chris Winner, episode 46, Choosing the Right Pillow. Send me the pillow you dream on. Welcome everyone to the Sleep Unplugged podcast. My name is Chris Winner, neurologist, sleep specialist, and your host for this exciting episode. It should be a fun one about pillows, how we choose them, what's right for you, how we can get better sleep based upon what we put our head on every night. Very excited about this episode. Happy for you to join us. If you're new to the Sleep Unplugged family, welcome. If you're a veteran, welcome back. As always, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can find us on our social media channels, Dr. Chris Winner Twitter, Dr. Chris Winner Instagram, Dr. Chris Winner TikTok. We do have a YouTube channel. And if you're watching the YouTube channel right now, you will see behind me a host, a collection of various pillows that we have in the house. And believe me, this is not all of them. There's a very good chance that when you come to our house to stay, you will leave with the pillow that you slept on that night. Because if you are a sleep doctor, you get sent lots and lots of pillows. So no shortage of stories and pillow surfaces to test and talk about in our episode today. Very excited. And I'm always appreciative of the pillows that I get. I'll throw a disclaimer out. I have no financial connection to any specific pillow brand. As I've mentioned in episodes past, I do have a relationship with sleep.com and Mattress Firm to provide scientific content for their platforms and their employees, etc. They sell a lot of different pillow varieties in their store. I'm not here to sell you any particular pillow on this episode, and this episode has nothing to do with nor is being funded by the good folks at Mattress Firm today. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. So I'm really excited to dive into this topic. Pillow and pillow selection is sort of an interesting thing to talk about, and we'll get right into it. I'm going to start the show off by talking about, we usually do a little communications with listeners to the podcast. I like to read comments, corrections, criticisms, and I'm going to read a comment from Linda, who sent me a communication via Instagram about last week's episode, episode 45, Are You a Good Sleeper? That was the episode on sleep identity. And she wrote, Hi, Chris. My husband and I have been listening to the podcast for a while now and so appreciate all the information and insights we have gleaned from you. My husband has long suffered with sleep apnea and just this week completed another in-clinic sleep study. Although I've always called him the eternal optimist, and he is truly in every other area of life, I only recently realized his attitude towards his own sleeping is, in fact, pessimistic and discouraged. Your episode about sleep attitude was particularly helpful. His negative relationship with sleep began 45 years ago when he was in charge of the engine room on his Navy ship, midnight shifts, and we believe it, especially after hearing the episode on shift work sleep disorder. The information you are sharing with many, such as ourselves, is invaluable and much appreciated. Keep up the good work. I really appreciate that, Linda. It means a lot that you and your husband are listening to the podcast and you're getting value and affirmation from it. That's what we're here for. And we're really happy to have you and your Navy husband in the fold. And listeners of this show know that we are go Navy, beat Army all the way, but we like all branches of the military and hope that they're all sleeping well. So let's dive into the show. The title, Send Me the Pillow You Dream On, is actually an old country standard that was written by, I believe, Hank Locklin, who first released the album in 1949, but it was not particularly successful. He re-released it again in 1957, and it peaked at number five in terms of the most popular country and Western songs by radio DJs. And what's great about this song is it's been recorded by a lot of famous musicians, including three who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'll pause here if you want to pause the podcast to see if you can identify them. So they are the Everly Brothers. They recorded the song. They were actually inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1986 as part of the inaugural class. Dolly Parton recorded it on her 1983 album, Burlap and Satin. She was a 22 inductee. She went in last year with Duran Duran and the Eurythmics. If you saw that induction, it was great. They all got together and sang Jolie at the end of it. It was fantastic. And the final is a new inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Willie Nelson, who recorded it on his album, Willie and the Boys, Willie's Stash Volume 2. That was in 2017. He recorded it with his sons, Lucas and Nelson. And if you've seen the Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper movie, A Star is Born, Lucas Nelson, Willie Nelson's son, was in it and contributed heavily to the music of the movie, which was unbelievable and outstanding. And if you've never heard Lucas Nelson's song, Perennial Bloom, I'd highly recommend you listen to it on a pretty day. This is the perfect time of year to listen to that. So there's our nod to Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson, as well as the Everly Brothers with Send Me the Pillow You Dream On. So let's talk about pillows. Pillows are everywhere. We start using pillows when we're very young. Somebody asked me recently, when should a child begin using a pillow? Which is a great question. Usually it's recommended at around 24 months, 2 years. A child's going to transition from no pillow to using a pillow. Prior to being 1 year old, it's not a good idea to have pillows or stuffed animals or of any kind in a crib or sleeping bassinet situation with a child just because of the risk of suffocation. So starting at the age of two, we get a pillow. And for a lot of people, you may be using that pillow that you received when you were 2 years old today. I'm kidding, but it's amazing how many people keep a pillow for a very, very long period of time. And if you have access to a microscope, opening up said pillow and taking a look at its contents under the microscope may give you nightmares for the rest of your life. You know, certain pillow types accumulate critters and mites inside of them more than others. I will say, if they're eating on organic material, they can really breed in there. And it was interesting. We were talking about different contents of pillows, and there was a very, very old 1962 article in JAMA about disseminated histoplasmosis, which is a fungal infection that you often get when you're around birds because it's in their droppings, happening in children because of feather pillows way back in the day, which is, again, horrifying to think about. So when we think about pillows, it sort of starts with, how did you make that choice? And the vast majority of people, if you ask them, because I do in my clinic, you know, what kind of pillow do you have and how did you decide upon it, have no idea the answer to either question. It's sort of like, I just found myself with this pillow and have never really questioned it or thought about getting a different one. And there have been studies looking at this. There was a 2011 study, I believe it was Australian. The title of the study was, Your Pillow May Not Guarantee a Good Night's Sleep or Symptom-Free Waking. And in the study, they had individuals use their own pillow and then five other pillows. And what they found was a lot of times the individual preferred the other pillows. You know, their pillow was not their first choice. And the conclusion of the study reads, and this is in quotes, many participants appear to have made poor pillow choices as poor sleep quality, low pillow comfort, and waking symptoms were common. So essentially what they're saying is people are having trouble with their sleep based upon their pillow choice, but they're really not doing anything about it. And that's really the message of this podcast is do something about it. You know, obviously we could do this whole, we'll do an episode on mattresses at some point. We'll have difficulty stacking up mattresses behind me on the YouTube feed, but we'll do it. I've slept on a lot of mattresses and a lot of situations, and there's a lot to talk about there. But with a pillow, that's a pretty easy variable that you can change that's relatively inexpensive. It's literally driving out to the place, getting the pillow or ordering it, and it comes to you. You put on your bed, you're sleeping with it that night. And it's pretty easy to move them around. You know, if I'm using a pillow and sort of don't like it, or it's getting kind of played out or losing its shape, get another one if you need to. So I think that's the important take-home message here is that Have you thought about your pillow, what it means to your sleep? And have you done some research, you know, A or B? Go out and buy two pillows and sleep for a week with one and a week with the other. Which one did you like better? Have you ever gone to a hotel and slept on a pillow there that you really liked? You can find out the names of these pillows pretty easily. A lot of these hotels have contracts with certain pillow brands, or some places actually allow you to choose your pillow before your stay, which I think is really important. So one of the variables that we're looking at when we make a selection for a pillow, we're generally talking about the contents of the pillow and the shape of the pillow. And these things matter, particularly the contents, in terms of cervical curve support. So there's a lot of angles and curves here when we sleep, and depending on what position we sleep in, there are things that we need to support. There's temperature considerations. Does a pillow feel hot to you? Is it cool? And then just general comfort. Do you like the way it's interacting with your body in terms of how it feels? All of these things become very important. Contents of the pillow, there's many, many, many different kinds of contents, but the main ones are generally feather or down pillows. These are the older, what most people call a standard pillow. They're memory foam pillows, buckwheat pillows. So they're made at the little hulls of the buckwheat. Cotton, wool, latex, microbeads, gel, synthetic types of materials. So there's lots of different ways that we can come at the contents of a pillow, and all of them come with sort of pros and cons. You know, generally speaking, latex or the memory foam pillows tend to have a reputation for being sort of hot, maybe off gas a little bit more than maybe a wool pillow, which has the, you know, sort of kind of holds temperature pretty warm, but can get lumpy and lose its form over time. Down and feather pillows are sort of the same thing, light and airy, but after a period of time, maybe a very different shape than sort of what you started off with. Buckwheat, very firm, but, you know, sometimes too firm for some people. And once again, you've got organic material in a pillow that, you know, dust mites and things like that might like to munch on at night. So thinking about these different types of things, what pillows seem to work best? And it's always frustrating when you're looking at articles about which pillow, you know, works best or makes people sleep better. Work is a loaded word. And for what we're talking about a lot of times with works best is supports best. Which pillow is actually maintaining our cervical spine curvature in the most appropriate way? And there was a 2011 study that said basically feather pillows seem to do this the worst. They tend to create less cervical stability than other types of pillows. Memory foam seemed to be next. And then sort of structural or orthopedic pillows, the pillow that actually has that sort of wave-like shape built into it, where your head is sort of nestled into the valley and the little hill is underneath your neck. So you're getting sort of full contact and full support all along the shape of the pillow, seem to do best in terms of helping to maintain that curve, get the muscles to sort of relax while at the same time that curvature is sort of maintained. And that's difficult. This is what the postural muscles of our body are trying to do. The strap muscles, the muscles in our neck and our upper back are trying to always align posture. So when we relax, these muscles generally are not going to relax in the same way our arms and legs relax when we sit down to watch a little bit of television. In fact, I remember one time doing one of those salt float tanks or those sensory deprivation tanks. I wrote an article about it. If you look up, you know, what it's like, I think what it's like to sleep in a sensory deprivation chamber. I went into one night and I wrote an article on Huffington Post for you. I'm sure you can find it. And one of the things that they advertise is basically once you get in and relax in this salt water that maintains your buoyancy, this might be the closest you would ever get to an anti-gravity situation where all these postural muscles can actually take a break and relax, which is really interesting. So that's what we're seeking. You know, when you think about the zero gravity position in a adjustable base bed, it's trying to maximize support and allow the most number of muscles to relax while we're sleeping or resting. So let's talk about fitting. The easy answer to fitting is go somewhere and get fitted for a pillow. You know, again, I'll pull out the idea that I do work for Mattress Firm, but Mattress Firm has locations where you could go and talk to somebody about, say, hey, look, I was listening to this podcast, this guy, and he said, you know, have you considered your pillow? I have no idea where this guy, I got this pillow. I've had it for 20 years. I'd like to see some other pillow options. And let somebody sort of who does this for a living go through the process of having you sort of fit your body and your sleeping position and your needs as a sleeper to a pillow. And again, we're trying to maintain that cervical curve, but let our muscles relax. Even our cervical spine, you are made up of vertebrae with little discs in between them. One of the things we're trying to do is to maximize the ability of those vertebrae to sort of relax and reduce pressure on not only the discs, but potentially the nerves that are emerging between those discs. So when you have neck pain or cervical pain or arm pain, a lot of times what's happening is those vertebrae are not fully relaxing. They're getting kind of pinched forward, pinched tightly, and the nerves that come between those vertebrae are getting pinched themselves. So we're trying to relax all of these things when we sleep at night. And it's interesting to talk to individuals who are in the bedding industry in terms of how are you typically going to choose your pillow if you're actually going to make that choice. So let's ignore the vast majority of people who didn't choose their pillow. It just came with the bed, or it was the pillow they found when they were in college that was there and they left with it. It's like people just accumulate pillows and have no idea where they came from. So, but when you ask people, okay, well, if somebody walks in and says, I want to choose a pillow, what are they going to choose it based upon? It's generally things like age has a big consider is a big sort of play in terms of what kind of pillows that we choose. Gender, sort of individual perceptions about sleep and what certain pillows can or can't do. And then our long-term sleeping habits, including sleep position, are the biggest influencers in terms of choosing what kind of pillow an individual is going to use. And that can be tough, especially if you're basing it upon sleeping position, because the average individual, according to one study, is going to change positions in some way or another 24 times a night. And we see this as doctors who run sleep studies. You know, you get an individual in there and you tell them something about, you know, how you want to sleep. Well, I sleep on my side. I really can't sleep on my back. Or I sleep on my back. I really can't sleep on my side. They spend an hour in that position they quote unquote can't sleep in at some point during the night is very, very common. And what you figure out very quickly is alignment of your spine is dramatically affected by the pillow that you choose. And a lot of times that's not something that people are really seeking when they go to buy a pillow. In fact, there was a Korean study, it was a 2020 study called A Survey of Koreans on Sleep Habits and Sleeping Symptoms Related to Pillow Comfort and Support. And what it found was that individuals who used regular pillows had poor sleep satisfaction on multiple comfort and support factors, their support, their comfort, the height of the pillow, the shape of the pillow, compared to those who used a more functional or matched pillow to themselves. The individuals who were more thoughtful and got help selecting their pillow had less head fatigue, neck fatigue, shoulder pain, and overall a more positive quality of sleep and positive sleep experience. So it's not, again, this shouldn't be particularly profound. I mean, if somebody sizes your suit, when you go to the class reunion, more people are going to say, wow, you look great, than if you just pull a suit off the rack and try to, you know, cuff it and hem it yourself or something. You know, the shoulders are too big, or it's covering your thumb in an awkward way, or there's way too much, you know, material under your arm. Like when you get a suit tailored to you, of course it's going to look better and you're probably going to feel better in it as well too. There are other reasons to use pillows outside of just the pillow underneath your head. There are pillows that, you know, people use between their legs. There's a whole industry of pregnancy pillows. We'll do an episode on travel and travel pillows at some point in the future. And this is not new. It was a 1948 study talking about the wedge pillow, a device for maintaining hyperextension of the spine. There was also a 1950 study that was talking about the use of a body pillow in pregnancy. So when we think about pillow support, certainly our head and cervical spine is extremely important, but there are also other parts of the body that can be equally important in terms of support, whether you're just an average sleeper or you're protecting a shoulder that's got some, you know, rotator cuff injury, you've got some hip soreness, you're a runner and you don't like to have your knees together. All of these things are fair game for consideration in terms of how are you going to use, and you can see right here, if you're looking at the YouTube video, they're, you know, a little small pillow. This one's made by a company called Bedgear, you know, great for travel, but also great small pillow to kind of tuck underneath your shoulder or underneath your knee if you need to, or you can, you know, hug a longer body pillow like the one you see here. There's a little buckwheat pillow that I got that's, you know, a nice little travel pillow that if you want to use that. So all of these things are different considerations, and you may find that certain pillow sizes and consistencies or contents are better in some circumstances than others. The last thing I want to talk about very quickly is, can a pillow be helpful or instrumental in alleviating a disorder? And I think the answer to that is yes. And we've talked a lot already about cervical spine pain, radiculopathy. If you're somebody who has a lot of head and neck pain, I think a pillow can be a very good first stop in terms of trying to figure out if that's influencing your condition or not, especially if you're somebody who tends to wake up with it. And man, boy, do I feel this when I travel and get to the hotel. And I feel like hotels these days are just using bigger pillows in general, thicker pillows in general. I think it just looks better. My guess is if you got into a boardroom, you know, why are you choosing these pillows? I think the bigger billowy pillow on the bed just looks more luxe and inviting than the thin little, you know, pillow that, you know, but I think that being very careful about that, you know, and not having your neck sort of bent at a funny angle because using a big pillow is very important. I've seen research about headache. Individuals who awaken with headaches, a lot of times that can be pillow related. Sleep apnea. You know, we talked about sleep apnea in episode 42. We talked about snoring in episode 29. And there is definite research out there that says your pillow selection can move that needle in terms of breathing problems per hour that we've talked about. You know, one of our very first episodes, I think it was episode 5, we were talking about mild sleep apnea and really got into the idea of when somebody has sleep apnea, they've got somewhere between 5 to 180 breathing problems per hour, and just how cumbersome and bizarre that scale is. So is the pillow choice that you make going to take you from 180 breathing problems per hour to 7? No, not at all. It's not going to happen. Certainly, you know, wedge pillows, like we were talking about from that study back in 1948, getting your head elevated can really help with breathing disturbances. A lot of people end up sleeping in recliners and things like that, or getting adjustable beds because of it. But just pillow selection in general can make a fairly, you know, marked improvement in somebody's sleep apnea. The average in a study that I was looking at from 2004 was 22 patients, so not a huge population. But in that study, pillow selection created an average reduction of 17 breathing problems per hour, which puts you at the higher end of mild sleep apnea, or the lower end of moderate, depending on your scale. I would consider that to be high-end mild sleep apnea, to 5, which is virtually on the borderline of being normal. Could an individual feel that difference? Maybe, absolutely. You know, going from 17 breathing problems per hour every night you sleep to 5 just based upon your pillow. So if you've recently gotten a sleep study and it says 14 breathing problems per hour, there's nothing wrong with trying the CPAP. We've gotten into that in that episode 5 and episode 42. There's also nothing wrong with, hey, what would happen if I gave more thoughtful consideration to my pillow and maybe elevated my bed a little bit and really worked on losing 5 pounds? Hey, that could be curative. Or even using a pillow to keep you in a side sleeping position instead of flat on your back. We've sort of talked about that as well, too. I'm not sure that a pillow can really change skin in terms of like acne, but certainly pillowcases and beddings can. So thinking about what we're putting over top of the pillow can make a huge difference. There was actually a company a long time ago called, They had an FDA approval for, and I can't believe I'll put it on my Twitter or Instagram page. They had an FDA approval for a certain material that when used in hospitals seemed to wick away moisture and oil really well. And they got an FDA to, you know, help prevent, you know, acne and bed sores and infections like that in the hospital situation. It turned out to be kind of a cooling feel. Deep Sport, I think it was the name of the company they eventually settled. There was something before that, but then they started marketing their pillowcases and whatnot to just as a cooling sort of thing. But they were antimicrobial. And so there are products like that that exist out there. Hot flashes, certainly, you know, using a pillow that is cooling versus a pillow that kind of traps heat could be a really big improvement for individuals who experience hot flashes during the night. And then the last condition I'll mention very quickly was glaucoma, that they actually were measuring eye pressures in individuals on different pillow types who were sort of leaning on the pillow and maybe turning into the pillow. And depending on the pillow composition, it was creating higher intraocular eye pressures. And they were able to alleviate that with certain goggles. But if you don't want to wear goggles during the night, that might make a difference. And I would throw in there probably wrinkling as well, too. You can imagine sleeping perfectly on your back is probably going to be the best thing for skin wrinkling. Sleeping on your side with your face smashed into a pillow all night long could result in sort of deepening of lines. And that's been shown in some studies as well, too. So the pillow type, you're using a buckwheat pillow that's kind of hard versus a more airy, you know, down pillow could make a difference in terms of signs of aging on your face. So that's it. Just wanted to talk about different pillow options out there and some research behind them. I think the bottom line here is that I'm never going to be able to recommend the right pillow for each individual listener to the podcast because there are a lot of you out there. But I do think it's important on for you all to, on some weekend day where you've got nothing going on, maybe you or you and your partner or you and your roommate, it's pillow day. And we've actually talked about this with some of the sports teams that I work with to actually bring the players into their organizations and have a whole bunch of different pillows there that they can try out and feel and really make a conscious effort to, you know, find the pillow that works best for you to not only, you know, maximize a baseball player's improvement and pitching speed and reaction time, but you, listener, the non-baseball player, most likely, to feel your best body-wise and sleep your best and optimize your health in that way. So think about your pillow this week. Let me know if you've got any great pillow suggestions. You can DM me. What pillow do you use? Why do you use it? How did you come to possess it? And it can be both ways. If you've got a great story about how you really went out and studied and had 12 different pillows, narrowed the field down to four, and it was a big tournament to see which pillow would win, that's awesome. If you're like, look, man, I listened to your podcast. I had no idea what pillow I looked at. I found the tag. I think it's from 1988. And, you know, this is how I came to get my pillow. We'll welcome any and all stories. So that's it. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. My name is Dr. Chris Winter. You can find us, find me on Twitter, Dr. Chris Winter, Instagram, Dr. Chris Winter. Check out the YouTube Sleep Unplugged podcast page where the videos and all the pillows will be seen on there. Until next week, sleep well.